So our text for this evening's meditation is from our third reading from the Gospel of John. These words, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we were this evening to go on eBay and buy a denarius, we could pick one up, one denarius, in poor condition, for about $15. So 300 such poorly conditioned denarii would be worth about $4,500. The value being based upon their condition, their collectability, their desirability to present-day coin collectors. Using bread prices, however, that is how much bread a denarius would buy back in Jesus' day, and comparing that to today, the value of 300 denarii, their actual purchasing power, would be about $6,000. $6,000 in today's money. But that's still a bit inaccurate. For 300 denarii back in the first century was about the salary of a common laborer or a soldier for a year. Calculated this way, the annual earnings for a full-time minimum wage worker working at $7.25 an hour in the United States now is about $15,000 a year, and at $12.75 an hour, it's $26,000 a year, which is a little more than what a private in the U.S. Army makes as his base salary. So let's settle in at around $25,000 as the value of the 300 denarii. Mary was spending $25,000 in today's money to anoint the feet of Jesus. And that being the case, we could say that Judas had a good question. And that was why that $25,000 could not be used in a better way than Mary was using it. That is, by spending it on Jesus. But as the text tells us, you know, Judas didn't care about the poor, really, and Judas simply wanted the money. Judas wanted the money spent on Jesus to better his own life, Judas's life in this world. But Judas's question remains, doesn't it? It remains with us even yet today. That is, why should we spend so much money on Jesus? And of course, when that question is asked, it is usually in a similarly awkward context as that of Mary, the brother of Lazarus, anointing the feet of Jesus with oil. That is, it's asked in a situation in which if the money is not spent on Jesus, we could certainly spend it on ourselves. Lots of it. Now, the situation in which the anointing of the feet of Jesus takes place is a dinner. A dinner at which the resurrected Lazarus is present. And to which many people had come to see not only Jesus, but to see Lazarus. The resurrected Lazarus. It was a Saturday night. The end of the Sabbath. The eve before what we now know as Palm Sunday, the triumphant entrance of Christ into Jerusalem 5 days before he would be crucified. But no one except Jesus knew that would happen the next day. No one except Jesus would know that he would be crucified on Good Friday. No one except, perhaps, Mary. Probably Mary knew what was going on. She was, after all, the same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to him as her sister Martha worked on the dishes, did housework, and was filled with worldly concerns. It was Mary who went out to see Jesus, went out to see him as she mourned the death of her brother Lazarus at his funeral. Yes, it was Mary who went out to see Jesus and stated in faith this great confession, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But in that same day, in that same situation, be Martha, who would again bring up practical matters at the tomb of Lazarus, and that is that if the stone were rolled away, there'd be an odor, a smell, a stink. It's Martha who brought that up. For Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So back to the supper. Supper where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with nard, an ointment, a perfume made of plants apparently that were only to be found in the Himalayas. That is in India and China. So the value of $25,000. Of course, no one knew, again, what was to happen the next day, Palm Sunday. So the issue at hand there at the supper was the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. The fact that Lazarus had died but had been raised again from the dead. So it must have been quite the supper, quite the celebration. Even like one for a soldier returned from war. A soldier whose parents had been mistakenly notified that he'd been killed in action. But then there he was. At the door, in uniform, a duffel bag slung over his shoulder, not dead, but very much alive. So must have been that supper when the room then was filled with the aroma of the nard. And it was seen what Mary was doing, anointing the feet of Jesus with such a costly ointment, perhaps bringing to mind in some there Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, reflecting upon all that Jesus had done in the 3 years after his baptism by John the Baptist, all of the blind who had received their sight, all of the lame who were made to walk, all the deaf who could once again hear, and even all of the dead who had been raised back to life, thinking about all that Jesus had done in those 3 years, it would have been completely and totally appropriate to anoint the feet of Jesus with such a costly ointment. For they were the feet which had brought such good news to the world. But Jesus, in rebuking Judas, brought out the true reason for the anointing, and that was his burial. Jesus' burial, which would occur after his crucifixion just 5 days later. A practical Martha-like question would be then for us, would the aroma of the nard really last that long? Would it last that long? Here we can think of times that we've gotten into a bad odor, gasoline maybe, or a deer scent, or skunk, an odor that seems to stink to us or stick to us for days, even weeks, no matter how much we wash. So as Jesus entered Jerusalem the next day on Palm Sunday and taught in the temple daily during Holy Week, wherever he went, was that aroma of nard still upon him? Yes. And here we can think of our colognes and perfumes and deodorants and soaps and detergents that each of us use, that give each of us an aroma of sorts, even a unique one, wherever it is we go. So this act of Mary, how are we to understand it? Should we understand it as a confession of faith, an acknowledgement that she understood who Jesus really was and what he was about to do and what the purpose of his presence in the vicinity of Jerusalem during the Passover truly was? I think so. I think so. For here Mary is thinking theologically. She's thinking Christologically. She's thinking about who Christ was and what he was doing and what that meant for her and for Martha and for Lazarus. And for the entire world. So spending an enormous sum on Jesus to prepare him for his burial. But it wasn't an enormous sum. It wasn't an enormous sum. For it was for Jesus. It was for Jesus. And it was that which would be for Jesus. That which would be used in faith in Jesus with all Judas-like considerations set aside. But that is the life of faith, isn't it? The life lived theologically, even Christologically, our life lived in Christ, our life of forgiveness, our life of life and salvation. That's the life of faith. Life lived theologically, looking at the world through the eyes of Christ. One of my wife's stories about when we were dating is a conversation with a friend of hers after meeting me, and the friend being all excited about our dating and asking about what I was studying and what I would do and be, and Christy saying, "He's going to be a pastor." And her friend suddenly responding in surprise, "But why?" True story. Her point, I guess, was that by being a pastor, my life would be wasted, and Christy's life would be wasted as well. That's how the world looks at every Christian in Judas-like fashion, and that is with ideas of disgust or even pity. What a waste. Such a life could be spent doing so many other things than believing in Jesus, in following Jesus, in living like Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins, in life and salvation. So the Apostle Paul, noting later that yes, Christians should indeed be pitied, they should be pitied if Christ had not been raised from the dead. You remember this from 1 Corinthians 15. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So like Lazarus, Christ too would rise again from the dead, and the fact that Christ taught that he would rise again from the dead, the Jews understood. They understood this. The Jews knew that. They knew that Jesus taught that he would rise again from the dead after 3 days. And that's why they went to Pilate and they asked him to place a guard on the tomb for 3 days. If the Pharisees understood this, then chances are the pious Mary, who herself had been taught by Jesus and witnessed the resurrection from the dead of her brother Lazarus, knew this. But that meant that Jesus had to die. He had to die for Mary's sins, and for your sins, and for my sins, and he did. So the nard, the use of fragrance for the fragrant offering of the Christ. So her focus, Mary's focus, not on the world, not on how the world would look at what she was doing, not on society and its understanding of value and worth of this and that and the other thing, but simply on Jesus. Mary was driven to anoint Jesus for his burial by her faith in him. So cost was no object. It's the Boy Scout who promises in his oath to be thrifty. And certainly thrift is so often understood, and rightly so, as opposite of largesse and waste and a bad stewardship. But how often is our thrift in service to our Savior not so much good stewardship of the gifts that God has given us, but our desire not to do for Christ in this world what we really wish should be only done for ourselves? Now, that's the uncomfortable aspects of Mary's anointing the feet of Jesus with $25,000 worth of ointment for us today. Such a faith, such a wonderful faith that acts in such a way. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.